hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. And let's get back to the show.
Issue. All right, next up on this November 17, 2017, it's time for Miananda. Like herself, like many of us going through all these evolutionary changes, has evolved and needs a new intro. So we're going to have Miananda come on and introduce herself today at her show, and then we'll see what's up. Miananda, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Nicole. Hello to everyone. Hello to all the News for the Soul family and listeners, and those who are listening live, and those who will be welcomed with open hearts later. How are you, darling?
Energy is exhausting some days. Being plugged into a wall socket 24/7, it seems, but riding the wave. How are you?
Oh, beautiful. Absolutely wonderful. I was just finished working with the Rainbow Grids and just also got off of a podcast interview, and so that was lovely and fun as well to brand new listeners, and so lots of introducing myself over and over again today.
Let's get you to sort of introduce the current evolved state of you and your show today.
Perfect. Thank you. So welcome everyone to The Way of the High Heart with Divine Mother Miananda. I am Miananda. And as Nicole had stated, everyone on the planet is going through grand transformations in your own right throughout the all right now. Not only is this Earth going through it, but the universe and many other universes and galaxies and the cosmos in general is going through grand transformation and ascension. So it isn't just the Earth that's going through this process. So this show is devoted to love, is devoted to the source of all that is and the wisdom and the love and the healing that is possible, as all healing is possible through God, through love. So I am here with certain powers and gifts to bring wholeness back to the hearts and minds of the beloveds here on the planet, and to raise the consciousness of individuals and of the collective just by anchoring here and by being here on the earth, as well as, you know, with individual and group work as well. So there are many things and many questions. What, my list?
What would be the hot topic today? What's the burning topic?
So what I was called to do was to work with someone live today, someone who we haven't heard from before, brand new person. Somebody who is able to connect or feels that they're able to feel energy and experience so that they can then share with the listeners. How does that sound for today? So anybody who is just something that they want to shift in their lives, whether it's something physical, emotional, mental, we're just going to leave it up to the divine and allow for that to come in. How does that sound, Nicole?
Okay, I'll just let you know the energy has been a bit crazy and the lines are dodgy on and off, but we can put that out there. If anyone wants to call in, they can dial 646-595-4274. That's 646-595-4274.
Perfect. And I just wanted to make a few things clear. I know people write to me a lot and they say that they want a reading. So I want to be very, very clear and explain that I am not a reader. I will not read your future. I do not know what's going to happen to you. That is not why I came into this world. So if there's something related to a reading or a psychic question, that is not why I have chosen my gifts and powers to come in with. It is to be felt so that you can feel what the arms of Divine Omniversal Mother feels like, so that the parts of you that are asking for love and healing can begin to manifest in a much more fluid, peaceful, and faster way for you. That's what this is about, just to be clear.
Yes. Excellent. All right. Well, it's been put out there. In the meantime, where would you like to start?
So there's a lot of conversation about the twin flame energies right now. And that's something that I was going to start with last week, and we went into another space that was necessary. And so this time we're going to talk about the twin flame unions. You know, there was a long, you know, there, a time ago, the conversation was about soulmates and everybody wanted their soulmates. And now everybody's talking about their twin flames. So there's a lot to be said about that and to understand the differences between soulmates and twin flames and traditionally what the twin flame union has been about versus what the various levels of soulmate unions have been about and how they interplay in your lives, you know, every day. So, Nicole, are you familiar with the soulmate versus the twin flame, since I have you here?
In just very general terms, I guess. I mean, it's one of those terms that people throw around but don't really understand.
So, the twin flame, okay, so the soulmates are mates of the soul. They are mates that you come into the cycle of samsara, the cycle of death and rebirth with, to assist you in learning lessons, being guiding lights, pushing various buttons within you that allows for greater consciousness, greater openness, eventually to unfold, right? So there are soulmates that come in as mothers, daughters, brothers, friends, sisters, lovers. There are various kinds of soulmates. You might end up married to a soulmate. You might end up just connecting with a soulmate for a few moments to teach you something or to learn something that is calling at your soul core. Does that make sense?
I think, yeah. That's me.
Right. So the cycle of a soulmate comes from different lifetimes. So one says, okay, I'm going to come in and we're going to have this particular soul contact. I'm going to come in as a mother and daughter team. Great. And these are the lessons that that I want to learn. And the other one says, well, these are the lessons that I want to learn. Are you willing to... you know, to make this contract with me so that we can do this together. And of course, souls say, well, I love you so much and I know this is going to be challenging, but I will do it for you because this is part of what souls do. They embody. And that is why, even though consciously a situation may feel challenging or difficult or treacherous on many levels, the soul has quite an ability to enjoy its process since it's part of its plan. And so there's a bit of a disconnect there with the conscious mind and the soul. The conscious mind saying this is terrible and the soul saying, yes, but this is what I came in for. So, you know, we have those levels to look at. And soulmates come together to assist each other on various levels. So soulmates don't always have to be romantic, but of course they can be. And soul connections, these kinds of relationships, can also be very intense and very important. So, do you have any questions about that?
Not really. Seems fairly straightforward.
Perfect. Now, the twin flame union is a whole other experience. It is. Traditionally, twin flames have only come together in their last lives, or mainly come together in their last lives. And they're here to bring forth the divine masculine and the divine feminine energies to to come into a space of wholeness together, and they're here to do planetary work. So the twin flame union is oftentimes related to planetary work. So when you've already done most of your inner work, where you're already getting to the place of your own wholeness, that is when you unite with your twin flame. Now, you can meet a twin flame and not stay together because the work yet hasn't been accomplished. Does that make sense?
I think so.
Okay. So when there is a need for the planetary work that is being asked for at this time, more and more twin flames are beginning to incarnate here so that the work gets done. The twin flame union is not always, it always feels romantic. It doesn't always have to be that way. And there's a lot of confusion surrounding that. So I wanted to share a little bit more related to that. So when it comes to twin flame unions, the confusion between the soulmates and the twin flames is one that we wish to communicate today. So I'm going to read to you something that I wrote recently. As you continue your manifested partnerships and romantic relationships in this game of polarity integration, many are struggling to understand and having a challenge determining the nature of your own relationship. It is the intention with this transmission to clarify it for you. Soulmates are those of your soul family who contract with you to incarnate time and time again in order to activate your soul's highest potential. Dear ones, this is not only one, as it is often believed. Through the karmic wheel, your journey together is expressed in many bodies and in many forms through many realities. This is done so that you may have the grand plethora of experience that your soul came to embody, as this is, once again, your soul's job and one of the main reasons for becoming and for being here. Soulmate relationships come in various forms. They may be family. They may be just sexual in nature and brought forth to unlock doors and activate codes and keys for you. Or they may be in the forms of lasting relationships, such as marriages. Soulmates or mates of the soul come in and out of your lives in preparation for your last incarnation, where at that time you may unite with the other half of your divine flame in service to Gaia and to the human collective. That energy signature that is only created when twins merge is designed and purposivation of the heart chakra of the earth and other portals infusing the collective with the merging of the divine feminine and masculine vibrations in synergistic alignment. Beloved hearts, it is easy to confuse having found your twin with the reunion with a mate of the soul. Please understand, it is not the same, nor does it serve the same universal purpose. The intention for this communication is in shedding light on all soulmates and rare twin flame unions who have been gifted and divinely blessed to have found their way together, even if only briefly, and who are now struggling with the confusion, fear, and lifetimes of imprints, karmic patterns and belief systems of false identity and heart frustration present on this plane for millennia. These blocking and resistant energies are found in both past and current and concurrent lifetime dynamics that this union brings forth. These never-before-surfaced or experienced emotions are loved into emergence for clearing by the power of the twin flame union. Only this reconnection has the ability to bring this forth in one or possibly both partners at this level of ionic acceleration. And there are many stages to the development of this union. The names by which they are called are of less significance than the energies each manifest. So we shall call them as we go. So, Nicole, what we're going to talk about now are the different stages of the twin flame union and why it's so challenging for twin flames to maintain or stay together. Do you have any questions so far?
No, carry on.
The first stage is found and is conceived in the initial recognition of your twin flame. This stage is characterized by an immediate increase in vibratory rates of acceleration and creates a temporary awakening of spirit. This stage feels absolutely euphoric. You may even find yourself levitating in presence with one another, as you have quite literally shifted in dimensional resonance. What comes next is when two beloveds who have had their hearts blasted open begin to feel the struggle and possible weight and oftentimes unworthiness of the subconscious and soul's combined mission together. For this reason, it is uncommon for twins to remain together, as the energies are so intense that one or both feels compelled to pull away in order to protect themselves and the smaller self fearing annihilation. Did I lose you?
Why do they fear annihilation?
Yes, because when there is a merging together, the ego feels annihilation.
Mm.
It receives such intense, unhuman love, divine love, that the ego fears its annihilation and so instantly becomes resistant.
No.
So this begins a stage of struggle and testing. These stages come from the desire to nullify what may seem like the biggest risk of all and most courageous leap, and that is to face yourself, your own mirrored reflections, and choose not to run, but instead to stay with your twins, in effect, to stay present with yourself. So, Nicole, facing, being in this kind of a relationship brings you to facing the deepest, deepest levels of yourself that are really only present with such a clear mirror. Right? Everyone's a mirror, and your soulmates are certainly mirrors on some levels as well, but not like this. Taking this action of complete presence is showing up for your high selves and unmistakably telling the universe that you love yourself enough to earn your bliss. Earn your bliss. So this is not a given. This is not a right. This is not a, this is not a right to have your twin. This is once you've earned this bliss. So the once spoken of 144,000 warriors of light, just to let you know, many more have arrived since then, are preparing to come together from the time of the clarion call for the upliftment of humanity and the fulfillment of your intended mission. This experience has the potential to be the scariest. Hello?
All right, we're still live. We had a weird glitch. Just very normal here. Okay. Another day. All good.
Perfect. We continue. This experience has the potential to be the scariest and most confounding, as you have been socialized for eons to fear love and keep the heart closed for protection, especially those holding the frequency of the male aspects at this time. It is to be known that we deeply honor each and every one who are breaking form or in process of that destruction. It is your greatest courage and your most profound strength. So to answer your question again, Nicole, the ego fears annihilation when presented with the face of love. The intense initial connection creates such union that one fears losing themselves in this merging, losing the false identities that have been self-perpetuated, giving the illusion of safety. Those rare souls, you who are in your last incarnation, and if your twins happen to be on the planet at this time, often have to prepare to undergo these stages in order to unite and ascend together. The last stages after the testing stage is the last of separation and is created by the need to pull away in defense of the fear of losing the part that is in fact begging to be released into love. If and when, dear ones, as free will is yours to create a reality of your choosing, this release is complete. The allowance and surrender stage may begin. At this time, the twin flame union is able to experience the elevated consciousness of radiant love together and transmits this radiant love consciousness to all on Terra Earth. energetically becoming the flame of divine conversion through the high heart. From here, the work begins, and the transmutation the brilliant flame creates is experienced through all time-space continuums, dimensions, and connects to the galactic center, opening its many suns as we speak. Blessed hearts, may you, both individually and as a collective, find your way through these flame stages so that you can truly become and come to know and remember the fullness of the expression of the unconditional love that you have come to anchor down on the planet. With that realization and expansion into love, you will then organically release all illusion and perceived separation of God and self, allowing us all, the ascended ones, the Godhead, the angelic, to fulfill the missions we have come great distances to achieve. In the deepest love, this is our decree for all who wish to walk this path. So this was a writing that was written when many began to ask me about the differences between the soulmates and the twin flames. And so many are saying that they're ready for their twin flames because it's almost like that's replaced the romantic connection of soulmates. It's like, well, we don't want soulmates anymore. Now we want our twin. Well, yes, my darlings, but you may not be ready for that yet. It may not be your last life, and you may not be anywhere near ready to bring forth that kind of vibration into your bodies as well as into the planet for these levels of consciousness because it's your last life are much, much higher than what you're currently experiencing. Does that make sense?
Two questions. How do you know if you're ready?
Yeah.
And what is this last lives? Can you explain what that means?
Okay. Yes, your last life is characterized by a kind of liberation. If you're not, in most ways, liberated, it's likely not your last life.
But last life, what do you mean by last life?
Last life on this plane of existence. Last
okay.
life coming to Earth for your own self-development process. Now, you may come in service, and just as in service, but it's not the same as being here for your own development.
Okay.
In other words, it's a graduation from school.
And so how do people know if they're ready?
Well, ready for to graduate or ready for,
no,
well, I guess it's kind of the same.
Twin flame. Ready for manifesting their twin flame?
That's a great question. Let me see what I received from that. Their hearts are open. They're able to recognize themselves and others. They are open to receive. They have higher connections with the divine. They are not in a space of dogma. They are in a space of ready for liberation or preparing for liberation in a more space of wholeness. They are not living in fear or through fear or experiencing fear.
And in basically, based on your description, I'm assuming one would know if they've already experienced this.
If you are truly with your twin flame, well, there are many who write to me who say that they're with their twins, and then we check in and they're not with their twins. They're with a soulmate. Or, yes, most of the time. But because the ego tends to overinflate itself, and there's a knowledge or there's a knowing that apparently the twin flame is a higher level of connection, you only know what you know, right? So you only know the kind of level of connection that you're capable of. And according to where people are, they're capable of different kinds of connections. Not everyone is capable of 100% connection at this moment in their life. Of course, they are capable because same way through the divine. But in the moment that they are currently experiencing Earth, that prevents their that disallows on some level that capacity to experience that at 100%. And that has to do with how open their hearts are in transmitting and what they're allowing into their lives. The twin flame mm-hmm. union connection is 100%, must be 100% open to receive and share, because it's not only about the twin flame union, it's about the planet, it's about the universe, it's about the earth, it's about opening the passageways and the pathways to greater. Does that make sense? It isn't an individual experience in the same way. It's much more of a collective experience when you're working with the twin flame energy. There is no attachment. There cannot be in order to stay with the twin flame.
So what is important about knowing about this today in view of what's going on with the world?
Love, understanding, connection, compassion, recognition of where you really are versus where it is that you are believing that you are. The reason that this is coming forth is because many, many, many are asking me, and the work that I'm doing is a lot of people are saying, okay, you know, open me up to be able to receive my twin flame. And it isn't quite that easy. Opening you up to being able to receive your highest vibrational match in the space that you're in, absolutely. But to be prepared to receive such a high frequency, you must actually be matching that frequency. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense from the perspective of physics and entrainment, for sure. Oh, did I lose you?
Hello? I think you broke up on me a moment.
Okay. Yay. I thought we both popped into a different dimension there. Well, I have to ask, so do I have a twin flame somewhere?
Do you have a twin flame somewhere?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everybody has a twin flame somewhere. It doesn't mean that the twin flame is necessarily on the planet or in this plane. But I can ask if you have that question.
Well, I'd be interested to. Yeah, let's ask. Who are we asking?
We're going to ask your guide.
Okay.
And we're going to look in your record.
All right. This should be interesting.
Your twin flame is not in this plane, but is working with you directly. So part of your planetary work is happening through your twin flame connection. It's just not happening in this physical realm. That's what I'm hearing.
All right. Now, so what does that mean in the bigger picture?
Would you care to be more specific on that question?
I'm actually not sure how. I just, how does that information move things forward from my perspective in, as you say, kind of doing the school, right?
Oh, well, it just means that you are in connection with one who is working with you directly as you in the higher realms, working to bring all of the work that you do on a planetary level to fruition. Which doesn't at all anything to do with you not being able to have beautiful, amazing, romantic, super beautiful, soul, heartfelt connections. It has nothing to do with it. But there's just a lot of questions about the twin flame versus the soulmate, and that's why we were guided to share today.
Okay. So does everyone Is everyone's path supposed to be, you know, having, manifesting that kind of relationship, or are some of us?
No.
Used to?
That's not necessary at all. It depends on the contracts that you've come in into this world with. Not everybody at all is here for planetary service. Not in that way. You know, most people are really here to, again, anchor in their own light, in their families, and bring bliss and love to those elements first. And yes, those are the hardest ones. That is why it's the hardest school. Those are the hardest lessons.
So what do we do with this information? How do we apply this to real life right now?
Well, for those who are in relationships, it sheds light on understanding a bit about perhaps why, if they have met their twin, that their twin isn't quite ready yet, or that they have more work to do, and also to appreciate the level of the soulmate connection, which is extremely intense as well, and equally as valuable and important. In fact, necessary to get to the level of consciousness that your twin flame, you know, that you can manifest with, that divine flame energy. So for those who are struggling in relationships, for those who are trying to call in their partners, for those who, which is so, so many people, even those who are in current relationships married and are asking for almost another consciousness of their marriage, all of this is really important and pertinent. And so to use a mantra and a self-decree that says, you know, I hereby call forth my highest vibrational match at this time, so that you can merge in a space of where you are now instead of waiting and waiting and waiting for a level of consciousness of a relationship that you're not yet matched with. Because if you were matched with it, you would have it. It's oftentimes that simple. And so if you're not, then there's something, either your contract is to walk a solo path, which is the hardest, one of the hardest paths to walk, in complete service, or you're meant to walk a solo path, because this is how your soul came in. You know, I don't want to do this love thing anymore. It's been too hard or too challenging. And so I'm going to create a life without. And there's a lot of this going on. There's a lot of this going on. So
this
is for people. What, my love? Please repeat that.
I was just saying, yes, I can relate. I've been trying to figure out if that's my proper path. Thanks, on the solo path.
Okay, perfect. So this is why we're, you know, bringing this up now is, what does it feel like to be on the solo path for you?
Well, predominantly liberation and independence and empowerment. That's the positive side, right?
Yeah.
Freedom.
Freedom.
The bigger thing is ability to focus on my mission rather than,
yeah,
you know, other people.
That's right. And so many who walk the solo path have more global planetary missions because the energies, when you're working in a closed circuit like yourself, unless you're working with someone with a twin flame energy, then you are working in more of a closed circuit because that's a part of you in a different way than a soulmate. So when you are working in a closed circuit that way, you are continuously feeding yourself through the feeding of love for all. And that's the sustaining force of source of God, of love. That is the sustaining force of love. And so it's not necessary. It's not even necessarily a call, right?
Right.
To have that partnership. There are many people who have children, you know, on the planet, and children are lessons. The more children, the more lessons.
They definitely are.
So, you know, they come in as grand teachers. And anyone who has a child, if they're listening right now, can, I would think that they would be able to recognize that and understand that, yes, your children are your greatest lessons and your greatest teachers. So the more children, the more lessons you still have to undertake. For those who don't need to go through those particular lessons, then children aren't necessary, and there might not even be a desire or a call for a child, right? That's not a necessary instinct, believe it or not. Because once you transcend that, you transcend a lot of the lower primordial needs to begin with. And procreation is not lower spiritually, but it's lower physically. Does that make sense?
I think so, yeah. That makes sense. It's interesting because this is like probably the most asked question that people often have when we open lines is, where's my soulmate? And, you know, the whole relationship thing. It's probably one of the number one questions constantly being asked. And people, you know, struggling trying to find those connections.
Yes, but you see, the connection must be found within yourself first.
So can you talk more about that?
Yes. And I know, and I hear this all the time, well, how come so-and-so has a relationship and I don't have a relationship, right? How come, you know, and I know that she's a mess, right? These are the kind of things I hear all the time. And I kind of laugh because, you know, everyone has a different way in which they process their lives, their identities, their lessons, their karma. Comparing yourself to another being is just disempowering yourself. Completely. So why so-and-so has a relationship that appears as though she's happy and blissful, and she very well may be, is not related to your experience. That doesn't have anything to do with your journey. And by comparing yourself to another, you're not honoring your own journey. You're not honoring your own soul and the level of work that maybe you need to do that someone else doesn't need to do for whatever the reason. Does that make sense?
Tell us more about how people prepare and get connected to actually successfully find their soulmate or a soulmate.
So again, we're going to talk about a soulmate. A soulmate could be somebody who you're in a relationship with who is a violent offender, who is in, a soulmate is a mate of the soul that's here to teach. It doesn't necessarily have to be a happy, blissful relationship. It could be that you're in a relationship with somebody because you're learning sovereignty. You could be in a soulmate relationship with somebody who is abusing you. That doesn't make them not your soulmate. Does that make sense?
So how do we change the parameters of the question to manifest something for the highest?
Positive. But it was an important thing to make that known, that a soulmate is, you know, take away the rose-colored glasses, essentially. We're trying to remove the glasses so that you can understand you very well may be in a relationship with a soulmate, and it might be abusive. So what is it that is within you that wants to be abused, right? And yes, maybe not your conscious mind, but there's something in your subconscious mind that, or even at the soul level, something in your past life, in another incarnation, something that you feel that you did that you're either being punished for, or just an experience that you want to have. The soul can do as it wishes and it has all the different kinds of experiences. And that's what we talked about originally, where I think it was either my last show that I did a few minutes ago or this one, but going to be talking related to how the souls come in, and one soul says to another, yeah, I will go ahead and give you and grant you that experience, even though it's going to be a challenging one for me as a soul to give to you. But I love you, and so, of course, I'll play that role for you. And then in another lifetime, that same being says to that other being, okay, you did that this time. Now I want to experience it, right? Because that's you need to know non-love in order to know love in a lot of ways. And so that's how those kinds of relationships come about. But in order to anchor in a really positive, loving, beautiful, harmonious relationship, that must come from within you. You must be in a place of harmony within yourself to truly be able to bring in your heart's dreaming, because it's that energy of consciousness that you're manifesting from. It's the energy within you that is calling forth, not desperation, not longing, not yearning, and not desire, because the desire is empty. And it is based on an empty foundation. And it will only bring suffering in the end. So it has to come from a space of high vibration, a space of harmony, a space of wholeness, instead of a space of lack.
That's actually a perfect segue for a question we just received in from Tracy in New York, asking, what best techniques can you recommend or information for exercises on raising our vibration amidst epic negativity?
Awesome. Thank you, Tracy. Hi, thank you so much for writing in. I'm stuck on the epic negativity. You're talking about the epic negativity that's in the world and the media and all of the things that are taking form. So one of the things I always say is keep away from the media. Keep away from the TV. Keep away from anything that is creating or instilling a feeling of fear in your body. And focus on the things that bring you joy. See a seed within your heart space and see that seed growing a beautiful flower. And watch that flower bloom and blossom. Allow the light. The light that I'm seeing right now is a vibrant pink light. And this is part of the light of Divine Mother of the Universe to enter into your vessel every morning and every night before you go to sleep. Don't go to sleep with the TV on. Don't wake up to the TV. Go into yourself and find your own harmony. Hum. Chant. Experience. Dance. Experience the wisdom of your body and your own inner light. These are ways in which you can transcend all of that darkness and not even live in that paradigm. You don't have to live there. There are many of us who don't have anything to do with that at all. It's not in our daily reality. It's not in, we don't focus on it. It's not there, of course, but it's not crystallized the way that it's crystallized for you. Does that make sense, Tracy?
Well, makes sense.
Did you have another follow-up question?
No, but so I know a lot of people have been toying around with just disconnecting from the mainstream voice.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that's a good choice.
Absolutely, that's always a good choice. That's always a good choice. There are beings in the universe that have and feed on the consciousness of fear, and beings that feed on the consciousness of love. Just as you eat food for your sustenance, they eat consciousness. And the moment that you turn that TV on, that you watch the headlines or whatever that is, you are feeding the beings of fear, and they will therefore create more fear and more chaos through your own shadow. And that's an important aspect to understand, is that all of this is being created through your own shadow. And that is why it's so necessary to go inward.
So, yes, based on Tracy's question there, do you have a recommended exercise, energy exercise, that would help people protect themselves?
Give me a moment. Let me see what comes through.
Okay.
So, anchoring into the earth, closing your eyes and breathing deeply, deeply into your belly, into your womb for women, and into your lower belly for men. Taking deep, deep, still breaths in and out in exact numbers. So if you're breathing in for four, exhale for four. If it's for eight, then for eight. And then seeing a grounding cord from your root, the base of your spine, all the way into the earth, and seeing a crystal that is a magnet connect to the crystalline grid and the crystalline structure of the earth, which is different than the core. We're talking about the crystalline grid, so it's all crystals, right? So that's the crystalline energy. And then from there, allowing another, a golden cord from the very, very top of your crown all the way up as far as it can possibly go to connect to divine source and the all that is. And then bring in the radiant pink light all the way down through the earth and all the way up back out again. And doing this exercise morning and night, it's a wonderful way to, it's not about protection, because once you're in another space, another consciousness, that's not a need, that is, you don't feel that. You want to just be in the energy of joy and bliss. And therefore, once you're really there, then you're high enough where these things don't affect you, because they're in a dense space. They're in a dense frequency, in a dense vibration. And so, right, in order for one, love, bliss, joy, to experience the other, it must come down. And in order for the density to experience love, bliss, and joy, then it must rise, and therefore changing its molecular structure instantaneously. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Important, subtle distinction. You're not, so the intent is about moving towards what you want to feel, not protecting yourself.
Exactly. Absolutely. In the space of love and joy, there is no need for protection, for you become one with the all that is.
I think this is why so many people have been doing consciousness work for so long are a little in need of extra help right now, because I think we all assume we were already in a higher space and we're confused by what we're seeing.
Because you're actually experiencing where you really are versus where you thought you were.
Oh,
and the ego doesn't like that.
No, it does not.
And this is a part of what's happening right now. This is all part of the breaking of the ego, even for those who feel that they've been in a high vibrational conscious space. Once you're in that space, you don't drop. When you're really where you thought you were, it doesn't drop. It stays. It maintains itself. You know, people ask me all the time, like, and those who really, really know me and who spend loads of time know me, Ananda is me, Ananda, all the time. All the time. And there's no fluctuation, no matter what's happening. And so there's, you know, and of course, It's you don't have to be that. And of course, you're not even expected to be that. I'm coming from a space of full liberation, of non-karma. I don't have karma and I don't make karma. And I'm coming from a totally different realm, in the celestial worlds, right? And here only in service, not here for my own development. So it doesn't, it's not about making the comparison. It's just understanding that that's possible for everyone at some point in your development. And that once you really are at that high vibrational level, you stay there for the most part.
So that could be interpreted then, I mean, on the positive note, that the seeing of what needs to be cleared is a forward movement step in our progression and growth?
Most definitely. Absolutely. And that's what it's designed to do. Remember, everything that's happening right now is divinely designed. Before I came through into this vessel, I had to watch and experience everything. I was taken to the wars. I was taken to all of these different low vibrational places, and I was told that I had to look upon all of the children with love, no matter what they were doing. And that was not easy at first. And that was also part of the development. Not in a personal way, but even for the collective of the higher realms to do that as well.
You find it easy now?
Neutral. Certainly much easier.
I love our chats. Oh, my God, the hour is gone. Jeez, I just looked up and we're 5 minutes to the top. So, wow.
Oh,
okay,
lovely.
So we have to shift it into wrap up and shameless self-promotion. So
I will
take it away.
Say that, yes, and I will just say that for those who are in deep polarity right now with one side or another, you're going to continue to perpetuate that polarity, not out of punishment, but just because that's the energy that is being initialized, that is the energy that's being triggered, and that is the energy that's being generated, or that you're generating as well. And again, I always say that in order to unravel the secrets of the universe, you must be first in neutrality. For really nothing will be shown to you if you're not, because it can't be. Not really. Not without some filtration system of polarity attached. And thus comes the judgment and the criticism and, you know, the fear and that whole bandwidth. So there's that. Yes.
All right. Well, what would you like to let people know about that you've got going on? What's going on?
So soon I'll be heading to Egypt to do recodings with the healing chambers in the pyramids, which is going to be absolutely extraordinary. And I don't know if I'll be transmitting from there. Nicole, we shall see. I will be in divine flow completely without, you know, any will of my own. I gave up my free will and my heart a long time ago to be able to come into this vessel and express. And so whatever will be, but it will be extraordinary. And then from there, I'm going to Mount Sinai to... I will tell you another time, but it's pretty biblical and extremely important for all, for this entire collective. What I've been doing is zapping just billions and billions and billions of low vibrational timelines according to literally the thought forms of all the beloveds on the planet, because the moment that you have a thought in fluctuation, you can create a timeline related to that. It's that quick.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds intriguing.
Next time, maybe?
Next time, indeed, as we're at the top now. Is there any info you want to give up?
And then from there, I'm going to Israel, to Christed lands, where my Christed feet can bless the lands, and the Christed lands can bless my Christed feet and body and being, and that's going to be around Christmas time as well. And so going back to the land of the birthing of the Christ, which is the collective for which I come from, the Sananda and Lady Nada energies of the Christ and the Christos. So yes, all of this is happening. It's very, very beautiful. And hopefully you will feel that when I'm there, and the trickle effect will occur in a very beautiful, gentle, compassionate manner.
Lovely. And we look forward to hearing all about it when you get back as well, unless we're able to connect while you're out there. That's exciting stuff. Are you doing any sessions with people, anything one-on-one, any one-on-one work right now?
I am doing one-on-one work, and you can contact me at info@miananda.com, info@miananda, MIANANDA.com. Also doing sacred healing circles, so, you know, healing kind of everyone at the exact same time. That kind of work as well, private healing circles. And soon, some point soon, and it's more about when the collective becomes ready, when there is this huge transformation that needs to occur that we are, in fact, patiently and lovingly waiting for, those of us who are here in witness are waiting for, to begin mass group healings as well. And that, to me, is probably the most exciting thing that I can viscerally feel, because that's going to make a huge difference in the consciousness of everyone on the planet when that begins. Huge. Just, it'll be instant. So whenever that happens, you will know.
Excellent. I look forward to that as well. And all our future adventures. I love our talks. I love how deep we can just get into it. It's very exciting. And looking forward to next time already. Yananda, have a great week.
Thank you, my love. Have a beautiful, wonderful new moon, everyone. This is a great time to bring in your heart's dreaming, write it down, light a candle, send it off in divine love. This is the primordial expression of the all that is in this moon, so bring it in. Beloveds, have a beautiful, wonderful, blissful weekend. Thank you, Nicole, as always.
Yay. Looking forward to next time. Enjoy the ride. In the meantime, sounds like you are. Me and Anna's all linked up at newsforthesoul.com, and we continue on into the archives next.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to News for the Soul. This is Daniel Brinkley.
This is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Okay, everybody, take a deep breath. We know that we choose to come to this world, and we're chosen to come to this world, and we've come for breath. We breathe in for ourselves and out for spiritual unfoldment. And as we breathe these moments, let's open up our heart and open up our souls, and let the true awareness of News for the Soul make its impact now and forever.
Good afternoon, good evening, everybody. I'm Nicole Whitney, and it's News for the Soul time on Leap Year 2008. Life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained, with a marathon of shows planned for starting right now. And this is kind of like the hors d'oeuvre before the meal. Brad Yates is back. EFT Wizard Brad Yates, that's what I call him from my experience doing his EFT sessions. Holy smokes. And we're here to make a big announcement right here, right now, on Leap Day 2008, that I promised that we would make, and by gosh, we're making it.
We did
it's
it.
It's happening. Yay, love beyond belief. It's in existence.
Love.
Oh,
exciting,
yeah.
And new.
You know, a ticker tape parade or something is in order, but we'll work on that. In the meantime, lovebeyondbelief.com is the website. Here's Brad now. Hello, Brad. How are you doing today?
I am doing excellent, thanks, Nicole. How are you?
I'm doing freaking awesome. Thank you for asking.
Do you feel like a huge weight has been lifted off your shoulders?
Massive. Literally, yes, indeed I do. Because it's been a year and 1 month.
A year and 2 weeks.
Yes.
Basically.
You said, hey, let's do this great Love Beyond Belief program and launch it, and then it's a few weeks later. So here we are. This is huge, huge.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm really excited because in finalizing the audio for the program and stuff, I was remembering how awesome it was, and it was an amazing program.
Cool.
So let's share what it is about. Red.
Well, what the world needs now. It's all about me singing. No, don't worry. I don't. As far as I remember, it's been a long time now, but I don't think I actually sang in any of this.
I think you did.
Did I? Well, you know, it's always possible. You know, I never know what's gonna happen when we start doing the rounds. But based on the idea that the world needs more love, and people kept asking for more love, you know, and especially after Money Beyond Belief, we said, what about love? I want more love in my life. And darn it if Nicole and I didn't come together and say, well, let's give it to them. And
love beyond belief.
Love beyond belief.
Most, you know, we don't want to settle for mediocre love.
Well, that's, you know, I've got to give credit to Dr. Joe Vitale for coming up with a name. When we got together and decided to do a program about clearing, and he had came up with the name Money Beyond Belief, and I just love that because it's the whole idea of beyond belief, meaning like in one sense, there's like so much of it. It's unbelievable how much there is. But also it's what there is beyond our current limiting beliefs. So love beyond belief is the love that's possible beyond the current limiting beliefs. And so this program was about going through and clearing out those limiting beliefs about ourselves and why we couldn't or shouldn't have more love in our lives.
And this was really exciting for us.